Hey folks, Jeff here. None of the podcasts on Defenestrate Media were created by a big company or a moneyed network. There's no corporate backing here. The shows, The Left Show, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I Told You So, exist because we thought that it would be fun to sit down with microphones and talk about the shit that we care about. Politics, comics, culture. Over time, something pretty amazing happened, and a community has formed around these shows. Listeners who come back every week, people who argue with us, laugh with us, send us messages, and share the episodes with friends. Recently, we got a couple of shout-outs by some bigger shows, which has reinvigorated interest in what we do here. It means that there's a lot more ears paying attention to the words that we throw out. It's a lot of growth, but growth means that what we've done is sort of hit the limit of what we can do with both the gear we have, the software we use, and the hosting that we've been running now for years. So we're asking for help. We're raising funds to upgrade our podcast hosting. We need a lot more bandwidth. We need two new hard drives for both production and storage. And then we have three pieces of software that we use that cost a bloody fortune annually to build the shows. We've always been listener supported. That's how independent podcasts like this survive. So if the shows have ever made you laugh, made you think, or just kept you company while you were driving somewhere, maybe consider pitching in this round. A few dollars helps when there's a lot of listeners that are a part of it. Look, do us a favor. Navigate yourself over to theleftshow.com. Click on that big banner for the spring fundraiser. And we're not just asking for help. We're offering prizes for people that do help. So take a look right there at the bottom of the page. You'll see everything that we're offering for those that come to our rescue. With that in mind, thank you, seriously, for helping to keep independent media alive.
Pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason?
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
You are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, J.C. Carter.
Welcome to the resistance.
Tiffany Steck Bell.
Punch the patriarchy.
Right in the parts.
Right in the throat.
Right in the throat. I would like to get some bad news out of the way. Before I do that, what I want to do is point out that I tried really hard under extreme duress and difficulty to curate a show with better news this week. For anyone who listened to last week's show, it was a 40-minute tantrum about how fucking awful men are. And I was so heated at 40 minutes that I just stopped the fucking show. I'm like, I can't talk about this shit anymore. And I shut it off at 40, which I know some people, I've been told, they see the timestamp on the episodes on their podcast geeters, and they go, oh, it's a short show. That's weird. And then I went to do Patreon and it bled over and Patreon turned into a tantrum. So look,
you're actually in really good company because Titus on his Armageddon update did the same thing. You know, it was basically blasting these mouth breather men that have taken over representing us as human beings rather than actual gentlemen. And yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciated that. One, I love when you get angry and yelly. And two,
so is our audience.
You know how I feel about men. I think, I believe that you do.
Are you under some idea that you've been subtle?
Sometimes I hold back. There are moments. I made a very nice post because my mother is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You're married to a man. And I'm like, I know, and I love him, but I hate men in general. Like, it isn't, you have to generalize it with this behavior.
I am the last penis.
Hashtag.
Hashtag last penis.
Hashtag last penis.
If I die or she gets sick of me, I am the last man.
Now, I already decided what I'm going to do with your ashes. Mm-hmm. You can put them in things.
Oh, God, where's this going? Okay. Yeah, what are you gonna put
them
in?
Well, you can put them in like a glass dildo. See, and then you have your partner forever and ever.
There you go.
That's true. I saw it on a site.
So I will be the last and everlasting penis. In this relationship, I'm okay with that.
It's your life dream made real right there.
to be a dick?
To always be there for women's pleasure.
That is so funny. Always be my dick.
Always be his dick. Her dick.
Yes. Okay, this is starting off well. Look, the other thing is, we are losing our insurance at the end of April. And I am...
Yikes.
What's that?
Yikes.
Yes. Yeah, quite a lot of yikes, considering everything that's been going on right now. We are outside of open enrollment for Obamacare, which I will call nothing else. And
not that you could afford it if you got into it.
I could more afford it than I could just straight up like fucking Cobra bullshit.
I guess you would you would qualify for all the discounts that Biden put through that I don't think Trump ended, so.
Or hasn't yet.
Mm-hmm. Or hasn't yet. Nobody's called his attention to them yet.
Well, let's be subtle about it now though. But
yeah.
Yeah, my biggest worry in you know, I've expressed this before all the way back to Jim Matheson when I was on KSL. Is the one thing this bill did better than anything else was strike down pre-existing condition. I'm going to call it persecution. Because if you were diabetic, if you had heart disease, if you had cancer, if you had this and you had to switch insurances, they could say, oh, we don't have to cover that. That pre-exists this policy. So you're on your own for the important expensive doctor shit.
You're fucked.
Yeah, and as a diabetic and a guy who's had arthritis since his 20s and has fucked up knees and fucked up feet and you know, a couple of TBIs just thrown into boot, pre-existing conditions were the discrimination of pre-existing conditions basically kept me having to buy insurance and getting nothing from it. Which, look, I hear myself. We very rarely get anything out of insurance. But, you know, with the way everything's kind of rolling right now, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about her. You know, I mean, that was a crutch that we were leaning on, and it's going to be taken away. And I don't know what the fuck to do about it. So, I mean, honestly, this is me reaching out to our disengaged audience who likes to listen but doesn't like to participate. You're weird. Your audio cucks. Weird. Anyway, what we'd like you to do is to participate. We invited you over for a reason. What do you guys do? What the fuck am I gonna do? What's my next step? Somebody out there's been through this before and can probably help me out a little bit. So I'll just throw it out to the crowd. Help. Please, I'd appreciate it. Now, big deep breath, cleanse your palate, take a sip of your beverage of choice or the bong sitting next to you. Let's have a little fun.
Trevor Lee.
Oh.
Utah Representative Trevor Lee. Oh. Oh,
that
I
was
hate
weird.
This guy. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I actually asked a couple of legislators that I know, hey, if I were to formally challenge him to fisticuffs in a ring with a referee with proceeds going to a charity, is he man enough to pardon my heteronormative toxic masculinity, but I'm speaking to a Republican right now, so just bear with me for a second. But is he man enough to get in the ring with an old, fat, tired, broken piece of shit like me? Or is he just some little scaredy boy? Are you a scaredy boy?
And you can tell by looking at him, I don't think he was fully formed in the womb before he came out. Have you seen his face?
So he looks like a dude melted.
Yeah, it's like mm-hmm. It's not quite there. Maybe he has a little tail. I don't know. A little tadpole-ish.
So what Trev did is there's a place he used to work called Moxie Pest Control. Mm-hmm. And the two owners of that are saying that Lee manipulated company checks more than a decade ago while working for them in North Carolina.
Oh. Somebody
on staff, I guess the accountant, noticed some weird transactions. They talked to the bank. The bank looked into it, and the bank and the accountant both say that Lee had been cashing the same checks multiple times. He denied wrongdoing until they threatened to call the police. And then the story goes, and I don't know the veracity of this, he wept. He openly wept because he didn't want to get in trouble.
Oh.
So he signed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he signed an admission of guilt. And the guys from Moxie Pest Control showed up with fucking receipts, man. Then here he's working for, I'm going to call it Enivive. It's a water research firm. Or firm, mm-hmm. And the guy there, Trent Spafford, says that he paid out advances to Lee upwards of $90,000. Now, we can take a second and point a finger at Trent Spafford, mm-hmm. and say $90,000. What the fuck? What kind of? What the fuck, dude? You paid out $90,000 in advances, and now you're like, we'd like our money back. I would laugh in your face.
Yeah, but he was getting, they were trying to get something in return, right?
Well, that's what it came up with, is when they were like, dude, you owe us $90,000. He's like, how about I use my position as a legislator to get government contracts for the business and use my commission from that to pay off the advances I've taken on my other commissions. $93,000 in commission advances.
He would just go to them crying, saying that he was going to lose his house. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
But it's like you're a full-time sales guy. You want to make your commission. Go make your fucking sales. If you were going to use your influence as a Utah state legislator, of which he has none when it comes to government contracts, then you would have gone and gotten those government contracts already to get your sales. You were scamming this company, so you didn't have to do any work while you were pretending to be a sales guy.
It gets worse.
Fucking shit works.
It gets worse.
Yeah.
Spafford. There's two F's in the middle, and it's throwing me off.
Struggling with that last name, aren't you?
I kind of want to keep teasing him for the $93,000 in advances he paid out and ask if he's hiring. but he says that he fired Lee last year mm-hmm. when he found out that Lee was moonlighting for a competing company called Blue Logic.
Of course he was.
Yeah. God. Yep. Said he used
Spafford. Did you have a non-compete contract? Because if you didn't, that's on you, buddy. If you did, sue the motherfucker. Plain and simple.
Well, this happened so fast. He got this job in 2024. So yeah. That's wild to me.
But he does, yeah.
Even still, there's due diligence you do as a business owner to say, okay, I don't want you working for one of my competitors, because that happens all the time in sales. If you don't have a non-compete, you go and work for competitors as well, just like this.
Yep. So Spafford filed a federal lawsuit in September against Lee, and then has recently changed his mind, saying that it's not worth the money he'd have to spend to get the money back. He says, and I quote, "The juice wasn't worth the squeeze."
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a guy who talks like that is the kind of guy who pays out $93,000 in fucking commission advances.
He's doing shady shit that he doesn't want to get caught at.
The juice ain't worth the squeeze. Mm-hmm. Somebody call in the boss. Let's get this taken care of. I got to talk to a guy.
At this point, Spaffy, you just tell your investors that's the price of doing, that's the cost of doing business, and walk and keep on going on.
Well, and I don't mean to call out Spafford or not, you know, too heavily, but dude, what the fuck? What a dumbass move. You know, one commission payout. Okay, two commission payouts. What? Three? You know, then again, what do I know about water consultation?
But all at a speculative rate of 30,000 each, basically, or 31,000 each. So he was supposed to be making some kind of sale that would get him over, that would net him a $30,000 commission on a 15% commission, probably.
Yep.
Maybe a 20% commission. So he's talking, he's trying to get $100,000. He's trying to get $100,000 worth of a sale, and he's lying and saying, I've got a client on the hook to get it. They just haven't made their decision yet, but I need the money right now. So give me an advance on it. But sooner or later, you got to have the sales, dude, or the company says, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know,
TMZ, you guys know TMZ. They're the ones that take pictures of celebrities and are super annoying. And their television show is fucking unwatchable because it's so vulture-like.
I didn't even know that was still a thing.
Turns out,
oh yeah, totally,
it's conditional. Because TMZ launched a DC bureau to chase after politicians.
Oh shit!
Yeah, there were ones we talked about it couple weeks ago. The guy who was a congressman, a Democratic congressman. And he was just doing the timekeeping for his kid's basketball game.
Oh, Moskowitz.
TMZ had a photo of him.
Yeah, Moskowitz.
Yeah, Moskowitz.
Yep. And everybody gave him shit, but TMZ, the tabloid known for its sensational headlines and dirt digging on Hollywood celebs and other famous people, is opening up shop in D.C. I love it. Producers for the website arrived at Capitol Hill this week as Congress returned from a two-week recess and confronted Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz. Now, there's no good quotes from those two. You know, like,
no.
Look, here's the thing. When even a bad guy like Ted Cruz says something well put together, a drafted response, if you will, he said, when asked about the president attacking the Pope, he said, "I'm quite confident both the Pope and the president speak for themselves. I understand you want to get me in the middle of that. I've given you my answer. You can keep asking and you're going to get the same answer." That is media discipline on a level I didn't know Ted Cruz fucking had.
No shit.
No shit.
That is well done. I would say it was well spoken, but it came out in Cruz's voice, and so that does deduct some points.
They had him saying that over and over and over in practicing. He's like writing it down. He has to write it down 100 times so he can remember exactly what to say. Well, the funny thing about...
He just repeats it on his flight to Cancun every month, so, you know.
Yep.
The funny thing about that was, didn't TMZ get a picture of Lindsey Graham in Disneyland or
Disney
World?
Yeah, with a bubble wand.
I know, I want to tell Lindsey, you poor thing, didn't you know you can get those secretly online? There's like so many sites you can buy a bubble wand if that's really what you want.
Still, I got to commend this TMZ guy who walked up to him as he's walking through the halls of the Senate and says, "Can I just ask you about the bubble wand, sir?"
Yeah, it's adamandeve.com, honeylove.com. I mean, there's tons of sites out there.
Lemonparty.org.
Yep.
Don't get your sex toys at Disney World.
Goat.se. For any Republicans listening, if you really want to know what Lindsey Graham's up to, goat.se. Fuck, I'm evil. That's just evil.
Yeah.
Progressive. Analalia Mahia. I fucked it. And I'm sorry. Please understand. Ketchup was spicy in my childhood home. Can you imagine what Spanish would have done?
This man eats tacos with ketchup. So, yeah, that makes sense. It tracks. Go ahead, babe.
It just reminds me of the simpler days of my childhood when we didn't have hot sauce.
Or
we had
salt.
We did have salt. We had a fuckload of salt.
Good.
Yeah. So, anyway, New Jersey Democrat Analalia Mahia has won a special election to fill the U.S. House seat that was vacated by Democratic Governor Mikey Sherrill after she was voted into that office. Boy, that took a fucking while, didn't it? It's fucking April.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for her. This is big.
Yep.
And she won by, like, a crushing margin.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Which I thought was quite delightful. And then finally, Pete Kegsbreath.
Mm-hmm.
Date rape on a stick. Pete Hegseth stood up at a meeting and said a prayer that was not a prayer, because that Bible verse he claimed to read was from Pulp Fiction.
Yep.
And delivered by Samuel L. Jackson and then rewritten by Kegsbreath and made it really bad.
Yeah. But yeah. He said it as a prayer. He was like, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read Ezekiel 25:17 because that's relevant to this combat unit that I'm talking about. And then he starts reciting the path of the righteous man. And I'm like, oh, you're just going to quote Tarantino, because that is not in 25:17. All that's in 25:17 is the furious, the wrath of God stuff. But it's really, Tarantino completely changed it. I think in some Bibles, because there was, I looked up in a Bible I had, and Ezekiel ended at 25:16. So I think he was thinking, oh, I'll just write 25:17 as a fake verse. But when I looked it up online, there is a 25:17 in other translations. So, yeah.
Well, that's the new one. That's in the new Trump Bible.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm looking at. I'm gonna Google that over the break real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But let's take a break. Then we get back on the other side. We're going to do some deep dives and more news.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So, we're going to reach out, because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
We don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
The monologue spoken by Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction is a modified, more violent version of a real verse in which We were talking about God's vengeance upon the Philistines for their cruelty mm-hmm. towards Judah.
Yes.
So, yeah, Tarantino took it, rewrote it, made it better, probably threw in a couple of N-words before they got taken out. Mention about feet and his favorite way to taste them mm-hmm. because he's gross and icky. But I don't know. Deep dives, gang. Who's got a deep dive for me this week? Anybody want to go first?
Okay. I kind of have one. It's not really fully baked, but I can give it a go.
Okay. Do you want to go? You want to go second or third so you can bake?
Yeah, I got one ready. I can go.
Go ahead.
If you want. Yep.
Let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for deep dives.
It's time for the Left Show's Deep Dives. Every week, your intrepid hosts take a detailed look at important topics from across the globe that matter to you, whether you know it or not. Let's see how this goes. Best of luck, folks.
Okay, I'm so excited for this one. Imagine. And you know what? I've decided that this is how I'm going to start every one of my deep dives. Imagine. Imagine you're a woman in the 17th century Rome.
Uh-oh.
You're trapped in a marriage with a man who is, to put it lightly, a monster. There's no divorce. The law considers you his property until death do us part feels like a fucking life sentence. So enter Tofana. She wasn't just a cosmetic seller. She was essentially the CEO of an underground widow-making startup. Over 20 years, she helped over 600 women, 600.
Okay.
Escape their awful husbands. And she did it all with a little bottle of liquid called Aqua Tofana. So what was in this bottle? It was a deadly cocktail of arsenic, lead, and belladonna. But the genius and the terror of Aqua Tofana was that it was totally invisible. It had no taste, no smell, and no color. And she was a marketing pro. She sold it disguised as face oil, or this is my favorite, a holy healing tonic called the Manna of Saint Nicholas. It sat right there on a woman's vanity, looking perfectly innocent next to her perfumes. And the death, it wasn't instant. This is so awesome. That was the point, though. You'd give him a few drops in his wine. The first dose made him feel like he had a cold. The second, a bad flu. By the third or fourth, he'd pass away. Because it looked like a slow illness, doctors never suspected foul play. And the husband had just enough time to write a will, usually leaving everything to his soon-to-be wealthy widow.
Mm.
So she didn't just sell...
The woman who's caring for me through this illness that is slowly killing me, I give you everything.
So she didn't just sell poison. She ran a massive network. She worked with her daughter and a group of trusted apothecaries. And they didn't just sell to anyone. You had to be vetted. She mostly helped women in abusive relationships. She would coach them on how to act. She'd tell them, okay, you got to cry more. You got to call the doctor. Look devastated.
I love
pretend.
This woman.
So to the authorities, she was a mass murderer. But to the women of Rome and Naples, she was a hero.
Yes.
She was providing a way out when society gave them none. She operated for decades right under the nose of the Pope. So how did it all end? I'm almost done. I don't know what my time is.
You're good. You're good. Okay. Go.
It wasn't a master detective or a man who caught her. Of course it wasn't. It was a bowl of soup. So a client got cold feet. She'd already poisoned her husband's dinner. But as he lifted the spoon, she panicked and she screamed for him to not eat it.
Boo.
He turned her over to the authorities. She confessed and the dominoes started to fall. Mm. So let's see. Oh, the public actually protected her at first. But a rumor started that she'd poisoned the city's water supply and the crowd turned. She was dragged out, tortured, and eventually executed in 1659. She leaves behind a legacy that still haunts history. 600 dead men and a reminder of just how far women will go when they're left with no other choice. The end.
What was her name again?
Gianna. I already forgot it.
I'm so sorry. Gianna?
Gialia? Gialia Tofana.
Tofana.
In 17th century Italy.
I love her.
I know.
So, St. Nicholas of Myra is the patron saint of children, sailors, and merchants. Well, that doesn't sound like... Let me continue. Renowned for his secret gift-giving, he's also recognized as the patron of repentant thieves, pawnbrokers, bakers, and travelers, inspiring the modern figure of Santa Claus. The gift was the murder.
Yes, it was.
Oh, I love it.
The only thing that upset me about this was that she, you know, obviously was caught, and that it was a woman, because I feel like there's always a woman who ruins it for the rest of us.
The fucking trad wife.
Yeah, it just, that really pissed me off. That's why we can't have nice things. There's always one. Or handful.
You think one of her pieces of advice was, don't write a book about how to kill your husband while you kill your husband. Don't do that.
Yeah, how to process a death as you just killed someone.
Yeah, yes. That lady. I can't remember her name either, but seriously, you just, the lead detective was like, is this really this? Is this happening?
You just wrote a child's book?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I get a confession in a... Wait, this are you guys pranking me right now?
I checked this book out of the library, and it seems that you have not told us everything you need to.
Wait a minute. Why is this a pop-up book?
Oh, God.
All right, you ready, brother?
Yeah.
On your own time, then, be it.
Mm-hmm. So in California, we have a pretty... steep race for governor. We've got a million different Democrats all throwing their hat into the ring to run for governor.
999,000 now.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, 999,000. We just lost one. And then two Republicans. But they're doing a runoff race. So all these Democrats are basically dividing themselves up into these little fiefdoms, as John Stewart put it. And the last two standing will be the two fucking Republicans that'll go on the general ballot. Just that's how it's going to go. And that's the problem I'm seeing a lot of with all of this is we are so ready to get the Democrats involved. We're not paying attention to the fact that we don't want every Democrat out there running for office. There are plenty of Democrats we don't want in major offices. One of them being governor of California, obviously. The Congress and the Senate. We need Democrats that will work for us as workers to bring us back to the prosperity that we once had. Honestly, I want to say back in the 1950s was the last time we had this level of the level of prosperity that we should be getting as workers, as laborers. Now, you may have a problem with the environment. You may have a problem with health care. You may have all the different Democratic problems. You got to put those aside because the number one thing we got to worry about, unfortunately, quote Carville, it's the economy, stupid. We have got to push for that. And that's what's going to resonate with people. But that Democrat can't just give you lip service and say, I have a way of fixing the economy, or we're going to fight for you in the economy. No. I want to see your plan. I want you to show your work. One of the problems I had during the last presidential campaign is everybody said, well, she's not saying anything about the economy or how she's going to fix it. I'm like, she has a 20-point paper right here on her website. But the problem was that Kamala wasn't going out and talking about it. She talked about it one time. And after that, it was all stuff that people was turning voters off.
Yeah, nobody reads anymore.
Right. And so we need to have these Democrats out there telling us what they want, showing their work. Even an endorsement for Bernie Sanders is not going to be enough. I need to know what their plan is, and they need to be on the same page. We have got to tax the wealthy. We've got to break up these mega corporations. Fuck, we got Paramount trying to buy Warner Brothers now. That's merging two long independent production companies into one. We've got to get unions restabilized and back into control. Yes. We've got to get consumer protections back into control. We shouldn't have this fluctuation of gasoline prices just because they open the strait, close the strait, open the strait, or Trump says something stupid or one day, and the next day says we got peace, and the next day says something stupid, and peace ends. We shouldn't have this kind of fluctuation with gas prices if we have proper consumer protections. But all that got taken away in 2000 when Enron, fucking Enron, pushed to have the over-the-counter oil trading because they had oil shares, and that was the only way they were going to make any more money. And they got went to Congress and said that was a fully Republican Congress with Bush and said, let's change this so that we can do this. And after that, we started seeing gas prices just jump up and down constantly. It used to be a steady rise, and now it's like a fucking EKG. It's like Trump's signature. It's a fucking EKG of a heart attack.
Yeah.
And we could, that could all be fixed with the right people. We've got to get back on where we've got minimum wage increased where it should be. We've got to get union protections. And the only way to make that happen is we follow Bernie's plan of taxing billionaires at 3% and watch all the dominoes fall. And then we can talk about health care. The number one thing we want with health care is to present it to say, if you back us on this, corporate America, you won't have to pay out health insurance anymore. It'll be covered by the government.
That's fair. I agree with you to a point. And I'm going to break it down to primary versus general election behavior. You know, it's any of the like fucking Newsom.
Yeah,
Newsom's bad on trans and LGBTQ issues.
Absolutely.
And so if it came down to a primary, I would not vote for him. If mm-hmm. it's between J.D. Vance and Newsom in the general, I'm voting for Newsom because I will vote every time for the lesser of the evils. Mm-hmm. You know, I voted for Bernie and then I turned around and voted for Hillary.
Well, that's how you have to.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, that's how you have to vote. Like, people thinking that there's this perfect candidate, and there's not. There's always going to be something. And I heard it explained, like, you don't take a bus from your house to your exact location, but you take the route that is going to get you the closest to where you want to go. It's just like that with the candidates.
And you don't take a bus that's going to take you in the opposite direction just because you didn't want to vote. You didn't want to get on that bus.
You don't get in a car with a freaking lunatic and just who knows where you end up.
Look, you guys, you're talking about Jill Stein. I get it.
Yeah. All those freaking people who voted like that. Yeah, it pisses me off.
Well, and the other problem is that you get a candidate that you don't like or that doesn't hit all of your needs, doesn't click all of your needs, and you don't vote at all. Mm-hmm. You know, we watched in two different elections now, people just staying home because they were like, I don't see a difference between the two. There's a big fucking difference between Donald Trump and anybody running against him.
My favorite is, I don't do politics. And I say, politics is going to do you, whether you like it politics or not.
How's the economy right now? Because politics has certainly done us for a bit. But
doing,
yeah, no.
It's doing.
I still say we need to be looking in the primaries, we need to send a message that we want to see people that are driving for the economy first, and then we can start looking at the other stuff as well and start whittling it down that way. So if I've got five guys that all say they're going to do something for the economy, now I'm going to look at how are you on LGBTQ and trans rights, how are you on the environment, how are you on this, how are you, you know, going down my list. But we got to send that message out that we are the fiscally responsible fucking party. Because the fucking Republicans claim they are, and they prove that they're not every fucking time.
So I wrote a chapter about this in mm-hmm. It's Monday in America, available now for sale at mondayinamerica.com. And yes. Basically it's, yeah, the right wing uses populism and it works.
Mm-hmm.
The left wing should use populism that is honest. Because yeah. Populism works. You are speaking the language of the people that you're speaking to. If I just come out on the campaign trail and start fucking speaking in Klingon, there's like two dudes, and they're on this show, that are going to think that's pretty fucking cool. Everybody else is going to be like, what the fuck is going on?
Not again.
We're over here like, kapla!
Not again.
All right. You guys ready for me?
I am.
Yes.
I'm always ready eager? For you, baby.
That was good. It's time to stop the show and go to the other room. There is a difference between having faith and using faith. And lately we're seeing a lot more of using faith. Perfect example is Pete Hegseth going on air, quoting what he presented as scripture, moral authority, righteousness, tone, the whole thing, except it wasn't quite the Bible, it was Pulp Fiction. It was a movie, and it wasn't just any movie. It was a stylized, violent pop culture monologue delivered by a hitman to a room full of very terrified, deservedly so. They thought that Marcellus Wallace was a bitch, and I can assure you that Marcellus Wallace is not a bitch. So here's the thing. It's not a funny mistake. It's revealing. It shows how often religion in political spaces isn't being used as a source of truth. It's being used as a prop. So when someone can confidently quote fiction and pass it off as sacred text, it tells you something important. The goal isn't accuracy, it's authority. It's about signaling. I stand on moral ground. I speak for something higher, except that they don't. So this is when religion gets weaponized in politics. It's not as a personal belief system, but it's as a shortcut to legitimacy because invoking religion does something powerful. It shuts down debate. If you call something God's will, it's no longer open for discussion. It's prevented as final. That is not only conversationally, that is media as well. And that's dangerous because democracy depends on disagreement, debate, and evidence, not divine claims that can't be challenged. So if we take a few steps out, it's more than one quote or one person. It's part of a much broader pattern that is often tied to movements like Christian nationalism, where religion is fused with your political identity. It's where being right politically becomes tied to being righteous spiritually. And once that happens, compromise becomes betrayal, opposition becomes evil, policy becomes morality, and that's not governance, that's ideology wearing religious clothing. So the deeper problem is when religion gets used this way, it doesn't just fuck up politics, it cheapens religion itself. Because faith, at its core, is supposed to be about humility, reflection, personal conviction, not applause lines, not talking points, not misquoted movie scripts. So when somebody stands up and starts to invoke scripture and gets it wrong, the issue isn't that they messed up the source, it's that they didn't feel the need to get it right in the first place. Because for them, religion wasn't the message, it was a tool. And that's where we should be paying attention. Not who quotes the Bible the loudest, but who treats it with enough seriousness not to turn it into a soundbite. Because when faith becomes a prop in politics, truth becomes optional, and that's where things start to fall apart.
Wow. That was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. It got me thinking and realizing I kind of fucked my kids up a little bit. So that's awesome.
So did my parents. I
mean, well, my
these
kids...
These Republican guys who walk around screaming God and Jesus and everything, Keg's Breath proved to us that they don't even bother to read the fucking Bible. And they were taught by people who use the Bible however they fucking want. And yeah. So they just do the same thing. We've got J.D. Vance correcting the Pope. The fucking Pope. He's correcting him. He's saying, you should stick to that. You shouldn't be speaking theology. I'm like, you mean he's doing his fucking job?
Yeah. Do you know what a job is, JD?
It's crazy.
It's not outing.
JD doesn't know what a job
is. It's not outing your mother in a book about drug abuse.
Yeah.
Good job there. I can't believe she still likes you. She does.
But no, I mean, we see this over and over again, and we see it even at the high levels of religion, these mega preachers, you know, that have gigantic mansions and private jets and everything, and and love to tell their parishioners, you paid for this, you took care of me on this. It's like they're con men. That's really all they are. They could give a shit about you.
Yep.
And they certainly are not following the teachings of Jesus, you know, in any way.
Well, American Jesus. All right, let's take a break. When we back on the other side, more not as bad news as last week. How's that?
Oh, boy.
How's my framing? Okay. Is my framing okay? Am I doing populism right?
Way to find the positive.
That's what I do.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
There was a time that I was religious. And when my kids were little, and you know at that age where they just ask a million questions? Why? 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 And so, you know, they'd say, why are you doing the dishes? Well, because the plates are dirty. Why? Because we ate dinner. Why? Because our bodies need it. Why? Because God said so. The end. And that was the end of the conversation. I tried really hard, but at that one point, it was like, I have nothing else.
Yes! Oh, what a missed opportunity. I am going to use that with my kids this week.
Because God said so?
Because God said so. And if they're like, what the fuck? I'm like, I didn't get to do it when you were kids. Because
yeah,
I did. We used to, so on Sundays, our punishment for the oldest was that he had to take the two youngest to church. When he'd fuck up, which he did quite regularly, he got in trouble quite a bit. We'd be like, okay, you got to take the kids to church. And Kyla loved Jesus. To the mm-hmm. point that she had a picture, just a loose picture of her and my father together. And she says, Daddy, will you get me a frame for this picture? It means so much to me. And she was 7 or 8. And mm-hmm. I said, you bet. And I went down to the Deseret Industries. For those of you that don't live in Utah, I went down to the Goodwill mm-hmm. and bought a frame for it. And the Mormons at the DI put, yeah, you heard me, Mormons. Remind me, I want to say something about Mormons in a sec. But mm-hmm. They put pictures of Jesus, they put postcards of Jesus in frames before they sell them.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Not every time.
Not every time. Sometimes they use me.
Yeah. And will you write that down somewhere? I want to talk about that in Patreon because that's a fucking hilarious story. But yeah, so she got the picture of Jesus and she put it on her shelf and she stuck the loose picture of Dad next to it. So I got her another frame and it had a postcard of Jesus in it. It was a different postcard, so that went there, and then Dad sat between the two of them, still not in a frame, until the third frame I bought. I took the fucking Jesus postcard out and left it in the back of the car. She put Grandpa's picture in it. Everything's great. Somewhere in the next 2 weeks, I took her for a ride somewhere and that postcard came out of the back of the car and ended up on her shelf with the other two.
Yep. So cute. But not in the frame, because Dad got in the frame.
Dad got in the frame. She did not know. She did not know how to process a frame.
Tatum had pictures of Jesus in his room too.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know, this new thing is, I don't know if it's a new thing, but I'm in more party groups. Jesus parties for kids. Kids, Jesus weird. Birthday parties. Yeah.
Weird. That's called Christmas.
It's weird. It's called therapy.
Well, it's future therapy.
Future therapy. Yeah. And then they just have cake that has little, has Jesus's on them, and you eat Jesus. Eat him on Sunday.
He is risen.
You drink him on Sundays, don't you?
And a taste and a sip. Yeah. A little sip of Jesus.
Well, when you're celebrating, you got to celebrate big. You got to eat more.
So I should have two wafer thin wafers. I don't know. I don't look. It comes down to, there are people in my life that I love, that I think the world of, that are deluded with religion, and I hate to see their favorite toy used for evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
I
that's
agree
a good
with
way
that.
To put it.
Yeah. All right. We got more news, gang.
Okay.
If Google Chrome will just fucking play ball today. I it's just I don't know what to do. I switched over to Opera for a while, and it kind of got on my nerves, and I could not define why. It's a perfectly fine browser. It's quick. It's responsive. It doesn't eat memory the way Chrome does, but there's something about the way that Chrome is put together and my habits formed with it. You know, with all the changes that we're making to the shows and stuff around here, this would be a good time for me to just really fucking commit. Oh, and it's got a built-in VPN for free? Are you shitting me? Love Opera. Need to start using it more often. Yep. Trump supporter, Caitlyn Jenner, is personally feeling the effects of the horrifically nasty policies her political party supports, and the internet is just enjoying the shit out of her fuck-around, find-out moment.
Yep.
See,
she earned this one.
Oh, absolutely. So Jenner, who supports Trump and all of his hateful policies, is shocked to see that all the shit that she voted for is now affecting her. She just found out she cannot travel internationally because her new passport basically is dead naming her.
Mm-hmm.
And she votes for people who will continue to dead name her.
And in an interview said, I'm going to call Trump and see what can be done about this. Because, oh, so rules for us and not for you.
Yes.
Bitch. Are you kidding me?
I listened to some of her talking and then I was like, oh, fuck this. No.
Yep. Yep. She talked about it on the Timo Lauren podcast. And she whined, what do I do? I can't travel internationally anymore.
Oh, Tommy Lauren. Yeah, Tommy Lauren. Ugh. She's
what
horrible.
What do you do? What do you do? Well, you fucked around and you found out, didn't you, Caitlin?
Enjoy the continental United States.
Yes.
You silly, superfluous ass clown.
But don't use a restroom in a federal building because somebody already took that away from you as well.
Yep. 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 And you can't play women's sports. You know, what else? I mean, everything else.
Everything else.
All your rights belong to us.
Mm-hmm.
That was a throwback to the early 2000s. And it made me feel old. Pete Hegseth forgot that when you put tens of thousands of members of the military, especially Navy and Marines, on boats, and then you send those boats far away to do dipshit, in the name of a dipshit, you're supposed to put food in them.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. So there have been pictures coming out of the Fleet Navy that is currently in the Strait of Hormuz about what they have available to eat. And look, you've heard about military food.
Yes, I have.
And you've heard about, like, people being grumpy a little bit about MREs or freeze-dried food. You might have heard something somewhere, someplace.
Yes, PTSD. Yeah.
What they're getting now, you got PTSD.
I did.
From chicken stroganoff.
I don't think I can ever eat a foiled food again.
Oh, my God. So, I hope you've listened to the archives. That's a deep cut.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not that deep. It was about 6 months ago. So, what? Yeah, a story in USA Today this week about how the ships have spent the last 7 weeks fighting America's stupid and useless war on Iran, and now they're running out of food. Look at this. That's what they're getting to eat.
There's not a woman in control of this or in charge of this.
Well, of course not. Pete Hegseth runs the show, and he hates women.
Yep.
So, of course, there's not a woman in charge.
I'm just saying they'd have food. They'd have snacks. We'd have, like, a bag prepared when they get the grouchies. Mm-hmm. Throw a little fruit snack at them.
Does Gunny Weiniger need a juice box, buddy?
Grouchy pants.
Do you, Sergeant Jake?
Here's a granola bar and some crayons.
Here, wash down your crayons with a juice box, buddy. Yeah, you got to feed them. And that is not food. I don't know what the fuck that is. Is that like a steakum? What is
it's
that?
It's like leather, like with powdered sugar on it.
Ew.
I like how they say whatever that third thing is, a boot sole or walrus skin or something someone scraped off the inside of an engine cowling of an F-18, who could say?
Yep.
What's the thing on the right, though?
This is ground beef.
Just
in gravy.
Oh.
Because if it's not, I don't know what the fuck it is, and it scares the shit out of me. I wonder if it's one of those really gross chocolate coconut cookies they had in elementary school.
I don't think it's gravy. I think it's just been burned.
Mm. Oh.
By the cook on the
like
battleship.
A fucked up patty.
We really take care of our people.
No, it's getting bad. It's getting to the point where some sailors are worried they're going to run out, so they start rationing their meals and saving stuff, you know, aside. They're not getting enough calories to do their jobs. And here's, you know, you've got on the one hand you've got Keg's Breath, who ordered, you know, $1 million in lobster tails and crab legs and stuff. And where are those? You know, obviously they went to his house. And then the other hand, you've got, you know, this is definitely following the diet prescribed by the current Secretary of Health and Human Services. You know, we want a lot of, I can't do his voice that well, but we want a lot of the protein. It's got to be all protein, and then, you know, we don't eat vegetables.
At least you don't have to eat it off a toilet seat.
It's got to be raccoon penis and whale head. Yeah. What's the point?
I mean, Keg's Breath probably thinks they're just going to fish off the side or something. I don't fucking know.
It's terrifying, but the thing that terrifies me almost even more is, like, if this is how we're treating our people, how are we treating people who are detained in these concentration camps? If that's what we're feeding, are people
They get, because most of those detainee centers here in the U.S. are warehouses. They do not have kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're feeding people like Newcomb burritos and anything they can get at a fucking convenience store, basically.
Awful.
Frozen. And bringing it in, nuking it, and passing it out. You get like one little piece of a meal, and that's it. It's the same kind of stuff. We're just, you know, it's like, fuck you. I got my thing. You don't get anything of yours. Keg's Breath, the guy who was kicked out of the National Guard in D.C.
The Guard?
Yeah.
I got friends in the Guard. It's hard to get kicked out of the Guard.
Yeah.
I know. Look, I also know people in the Guard that are fucking amazing, and they are a true honor to the uniform that they wear. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about those two.
It's kind of like the 7th grade volleyball basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
You got to show up.
Just show up. You'll be fine. You're going to play.
All right. So basically there are three factions in Iran right now. There's the new Ayatollah, there's some sort of military group, and then there's some sort of other group. The story isn't about these, that's why I don't have the figures on my hands. But basically, of the three, there is one that is just not fucking credible at all. There's no point to them. There's no purpose to them. They don't have access to the weapons. They don't have access to the money. They don't have access to the oil. They're just, you know, pretty fancy pantsy, you know, folks that were probably political operatives at some point and now think of themselves as divine and above. Guess who we're negotiating with?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know. So Trump pops up and says, Iran says that the Strait of, well, he called it the Strait of Iran, that the Strait of Iran, because he's a fucking idiot. Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons he's a fucking idiot. It's just another example of him being a fucking idiot. But the Strait of Iran is open and will never be closed again. Meanwhile, the guys with the missiles and the guys with the religion are like, hey, shoot at those boats. There's boats. Shoot at the boats. So they started shooting at the boats. So it was open, not at all. They've been shooting at the boats the whole time. And for reasons that defy comprehension, we're blocking the strait as well. So what we're doing is it's like, oh, you're blocking the strait? No, I'm blocking the strait. That's what's happening right now. I'll show you who blocks the strait, you little bitch.
Tripp literally said, anybody who pays an illegal fine will be fired upon. And I'm like, so in order to get out of the strait, you have to pay a toll to Iran.
About $2 million.
About $2 million in a toll to Iran, because otherwise you're not getting out. And the oil's got to get out. And now Trump's saying, well, if you paid that, I'm going to blow you up.
You didn't
goes our gas prices right back up again, folks, because we don't have consumer protection.
I think what you meant to say there was right back up some more.
Yep.
Because I watched a news story about gas prices, and they're like, prices toppled almost 7 cents a gallon. I'm like, fuck you, 7 cents.
Fuck you and your 7 cents.
That's less than the discount I get for buying candy bars at the goddamn grocery store. 7 cents a tumble. Jesus Christ. I had $7 to put gas in my fucking car the other day just so I could get home from picking up my fucking prescriptions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was like a gallon and a drip. Oh, I'm mad. Okay. Speaking of a drip, we just to kind of wrap up last week's tantrum episode, Swalwell says he's going to resign from Congress too. So he's not just dropping out of the governor's race. He's also going to resign from Congress.
Good.
I hope he does it quickly. Mm-hmm. And I hope that fucking Newsom can get a special election flipped around real fucking quick. Because if he can't, we got to wait till Election Day. And for anybody in the Democratic Party that's like, why don't we just let him stay until Election Day? Why don't we let him stay until his no. We already have Democrats letting Republicans pass legislation by grabbing one or two that aren't running for re-election and having them vote for or against stuff so that the rest of the Dems have cover. Yeah, I know that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. We're not fucking idiots. Just some of us don't pay attention. Me? I do. You know? So this shit's already going to pass.
Yeah.
So get rid of the rapist. Get rid of him. ASAP. I don't want to hear that he's planning on stepping down. I want to hear he's fucking gone.
He's got to be gone because we can't be the party that's holding on to the rapists and pedophiles when the other party has one in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
A convicted one in the Oval Office. We can't have them in there. You know, we got to, you know, not. Swallow was funny with that whole, well, these are false allegations. And then the more receipts start showing up, he's like, okay, I'm going to resign to go take care of this.
Yeah. And then he's like, this is between my wife and I. What was her name again? From the Greek island?
I don't know.
With the poison?
Oh, from Rome?
Yeah.
Tofana.
Tofana.
I think Tofana.
Saintess Nicholas.
Yep. That's Saint Tofana.
All right, gang.
Patron saint of battered women. Yeah.
There you go. There you go, gang. We are done with this part of the show. We are going to go over and do Patreon right now. Ooh. If you go over to patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media, you too can have your earbuds tantalized by the sounds of us off the hook. We're a little bit more unguarded, a little bit more ribald, a little bit more open over there on Patreon. And every week that we record, we also record special content just for our Patreon listeners. Defenmedia, patreon.com/defenmedia. With that said, and with love in my heart, I thank you, Brother Carter. I thank you, Sister Steckbell.
God is good.
And I say sayonara to everybody. We will see you next week.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.